Over the past 10 years or so, our city, particularly in the more urban areas, like here in central Austin, has fallen in love with the agave plant. You see them everywhere, from residential neighborhoods to office buildings to city parks. I mean, you know the plant, I'm sure. It's sort of like a cactus, but it's actually a succulent. And we see it in the most obvious of places without maybe even realizing it. Like the entrance as you drive into our parking lot off Burnett Road, or the five magnificent agaves over in front of Wozniak Hall. We know the agave by different names too, the maguey, the American aloe, the century plant, although it only really has a 20 to a 25 year lifespan. Now, what's impressive with mature agaves is that at a certain point, they produce the most amazing bloom. Shooting straight out of the middle of the plant is a single spear that looks like a giant piece of asparagus. And in our case, right out in front last year, can grow up to 25 feet tall. And at the top of the bloom are the most beautiful yellow bunches of flowers. Now, as impressive as agaves are, there's actually something else that I think is the most remarkable. The agave blooms only one time in its life. When the impressive spear shoots up into the sun-drenched sky, we think, oh, it must be agave blooming season. But in fact, the opposite is true. There is no agave blooming season. The agave's arrival to full bloom is its announcement that it is now dying. When the agave blooms, it is the beginning of its decline. A last act of self-expression giving way to death. Now, you're probably wondering, what could agaves possibly have to do with church or mass or our gospel today? This story of the rich young man, Jesus is traveling through the towns of the Jordan River area, and this young guy runs up to him, eager to meet the Messiah and eager to express his vigor for the faith. He's young, and he wants to not only do what is right, but he wants to show that he knows what is right. He wants to bloom in the truth of the commandments of Judaism. He even says, well, yes, teacher, I follow these commandments and have done so since I was a young boy. And then Jesus, he throws out the line that tells the whole story. Well, go and sell all you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. For all of us, for this young man who went away sad, and for you and me, this is where the rubber hits the road. In spiritual terms, we call this dying to self. Whoever wishes to save his life must lose it, and whoever is willing to lose his life for my sake will save it. Those who are first will be last, and those who are last will be first. I mean, it's a running theme throughout Jesus' ministry, and it slaps us right in the face in this story of a young man who, by the way, is you and me. We must always read Scripture placing ourselves in the story. Otherwise, it just becomes a literary exercise. So, in considering this young man in the gospel, we can see that the same thing happens to us each Sunday. We're eager to get here. Or at least we should be eager to get here to Mass. We jump out of our car. We run in to see the Lord. And what's the first thing we do? Just like the passage reads, we kneel down and pray. That's kind of a dying to self, isn't it? We physically humble ourselves before God as we come into our pews. And we don't bring anything with us either. The things of our life are back at home, and it's just you and me and God. I always find that interesting in Mass, the kneeling part of Mass. I mean, we think at first it's an act of adoration, and it is, but it's also, and maybe more importantly, an act of humility. I mean, I've been in Catholic churches, you've probably been in them too, where there are no kneelers. And you think, this somehow misses the point here. Kneeling is a symbol of giving yourself away. Kneeling is a symbol of giving away your control. Kneeling is a symbol of giving away your power, of giving away your prestige. Kneeling here at Mass, our wealthy parishioners and poor parishioners, educated parishioners and parishioners who didn't get much school, white and black and all colors in between, kneeling together. It's like the Mass is our gospel story in miniature. We come here, we kneel, we encounter Christ, and then at the end of Mass, Deacon Rob sends us out to give what we have away. The agave is a perfect image of this spiritual reality, and there's a significant lesson being taught. Think about it. The agave, it begins as a seedling from another magnificent agave that once bloomed and died years ago. Then the agave, as it grows, it's driven by what nutrients it can collect and hold on to. Season after season, the agave becomes bigger and stronger and fuller, all the while consumed by gathering energy. Finally, it acquires so much energy that it bursts out in self-expression, and we see the stalk and the flower, and we are amazed. It reaches full maturity. But that's just it. Full maturity for the agave and for us is always accompanied by dying. Reaching full maturity, the agave's nature then turns from being something that collects energy to something that gives away its energy, something that dies for the benefit of other agaves, which I think is even more interesting than the glorious agave blooms. Reaching maturity, the agave's life is then consumed not with gathering energy, it is now consumed with giving itself away. This is what it must be like with us. This is what Jesus is talking about in the gospel. The young man, it's interesting. It doesn't say in the gospel, a man came up to talk to. No. A young man came up to see Jesus. That's just it. He's young. He hadn't reached maturity yet. He was still growing, still gathering power, still consumed with blooming that he couldn't imagine anything else. So he went away sad. Father Ron Rollheiser, in one of his blogs, writes this. He says, "No one can truly bless another without dying in some way. That's what makes a blessing so powerful. And nature actually prescribes this. Flowers know this. Generosity depends on a willingness to die to self, to let go of your own search for blooming." It's so interesting. In my own priesthood, when I was a rookie pastor, I spent so much time trying to express myself, giving classes, starting new ministries. I was just trying to bloom into life of pastoring with unbridled vigor. Then I was given parochial vicars, Father Vincent, Father Paul, Father Alberto, then Father David Trahan, Father Doug, and now Father Jesse. I was given seminarians too, Chris and Will and Deacon Henry. And now, 13 years into my priesthood, I find myself trying, and I'm not very good at it yet, so be patient with me. I find myself trying to give some things away to them, trying to give them life by dying a little bit to self, to give them responsibilities here at the parish so that they too will bloom and then become pastors one day to do the same with their parochial vicars. It's so difficult, but it's exactly what Jesus is calling the young man and you and me to consider in our gospel today. Spiritual maturity is what we're talking about here. We spend, it seems like, the first half of our lives like the young man and like the agave, consumed with gathering nutrients, gathering strength, and gathering energy. Then, if you're ever going to reach a point of spiritual maturity, there comes a point where we bloom and we begin living no longer consumed with trying to collect, but rather consumed with trying to give it all away. That's what this gospel passage is all about. That's what spiritual maturity is all about. It's crossing over from collecting to giving. And this is what God calls us to do in our gospel passage today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.